Christ, and unless the festival of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back in the 1930s, Joseph Stalin was pushing atheism in the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Academy of Sciences met in the Great Hall with about 3,000 people, and there they were treated to an exposition on atheism and why creationism was wrong. And at the end, one of the scientists stood up and said, "He is risen." And the entire assembly stood up and said, "He is risen indeed." Indeed, even the teaching of communists and atheists can't negate the great truth that on this day, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead, showing that he indeed had defeated Satan, sin, and the devil, and had won for us forgiveness of sins and a right standing with God. And for this we are truly grateful and celebrate and rejoice in the joy of his resurrection. We begin our service then today with the singing of our first hymn, hymn 199, "Jesus Christ is Risen Today, Alleluia," and in honor of our triune God, we rise for the last stanza, and then remain standing as we continue with our liturgy, which begins on page 15 of the fourth part of our hymn.
Thank you.
On this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. When I awake, I am still with you. Alleluia. You have laid your hand upon me. Alleluia. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Alleluia. Alleluia. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising.
Swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will light you.
said on that day, "Behold, this is our God for whom we have waited that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson is written in the 15th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning at the 12th verse. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. So far, the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak the gradual responsively. It is printed in our worship bulletin, and at the conclusion we sing the triple Alleluia. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord has guided me.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord has
I shall not die, but live
and tell the word of the Lord.
The stone which the builders rejected
has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Christ, hallelujah, Christ our Passover
is sacrificed for us.
To my Father and to your Father and my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. So far, the Holy Gospel. Please join me as we now make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, printed atop page 22 of the fourth part of our hymn book.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost to the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have an end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe on the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. I belong to my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We now continue with our next hymn number 201, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won.
Thank you. Holy Ghost according to St. John, which was read earlier. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary said to them, "Because they have taken away the Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. But in North America, it isn't quite Easter the way we... For example, a recent survey in that at least... of why Easter Eve was being celebrated. Easter actually was Jesus' marriage anniversary, Shades of the Da Vinci Code, and quite a few young people believe that Easter was the day on which Jesus was born. Unfortunately, about a third, 33%, associate Easter only with a family holiday, a time to get together and have a good meal and fine drink and relax. Perhaps just think of Easter as being, wow, a four-day weekend. Isn't that wonderful? But what about North America or Germany? Another third, somewhere in between, probably in betwixt and between, not quite sure what's happening, but let me tell you, if they aren't going to church, they are probably just drifting along and drifting away from the faith. Now, statistics aside, this shows us that one doesn't have to go to exotic third world countries to do mission work. More often than not, missionary opportunities to share the love of Christ are basically right next door. But what is our hope and joy when we celebrate Easter? Well, we know that. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So day after day, our Easter joy and our Easter hope can be eroded because the world, for the most part, is unbelieving. But today, God would refresh our joy and hope in Easter, and this brings me to my morning sermon topic. God refreshes our Easter joy. And I'll develop that in three parts. He refreshes our Easter joy because the angel speaks to us. He refreshes our Easter joy because Jesus speaks to us. He refreshes our Easter joy because we can speak with us. Now, we know from the other gospel accounts that Mary Magdalene did not come to the tomb alone. She came with some of the other women. And they all must have been shocked when they arrived at the tomb. They had been walking. It was still night. But they could see that the heavy stone that had been in front of the tomb had been rolled away. They could hardly wait to apply the embalming ointments that they had brought, because now it would be the last act of their loving devotion to their Lord. But what were they thinking when they saw the stone had been rolled away? What is more, the Lord was no longer in the grave. And as far as they were concerned, this was awful. Their world was shattered, because somebody had taken Jesus' body away. The other women moved a bit closer to the grave. But as we read in John's account, Mary Magdalene ran back to the city and told Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would have been John, "They have taken the Lord away, and we do not know where they have taken him." Peter and John were just as upset, because they ran to the tomb, but as John writes, neither of them yet understood the scripture that Jesus must rise again. It didn't matter that he said he had to suffer and die and yet on the third day would rise. It was something that they just couldn't understand and they couldn't comprehend. Peter was befuddled, but John believed. Well, what did he believe? At least Jesus was no longer there. And Mary, what did Mary do? She stood before the grave and wept. She was crying and you know, with teary eyes, she had run back to the disciples to tell them about the empty tomb. And then she ran back to the tomb. With teary eyes, she was overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. And she couldn't understand why Jesus' body was not that by force of will she could bring him back. Now, you know, can many of us identify with such anguish as consumed Mary? You know, it is almost the kind of anguish gone and the life has vanished and the mother wails and looks at the body of her child. She can't leave it and hugs and kisses the remains. But perhaps her heart is strong and the tears diminish as long as she can see her child. But then, when this is no longer the case, her anguish returns. And so then she makes preparation to beautify the grave. And such inner love can be found also among us as Christians. We shed tears over those who are gone. Now it also seems as if the longer that one has been and known the Lord Jesus, the longer we've experienced his forgiveness which he won for us on the cross, the longer such comfort has been sustained to us through word and sacrament, then the more painful it also seems when sometimes people feel that the Lord is not there. He is not there for them. His help seems to have vanished, and everything seems to have reached an end. Then when one seems completely alone, the tears flow and the anguish of the heart grows deeper because one feels that one has reached a dead end in one's faith life. The love towards Christ is still there, but the believer searches where there is an answer to anguish and pain and loneliness. When he can finally say, I have found, once again found my Lord, and once again he is speaking. And sometimes people are deaf and blind to what might be of comfort. So what did Mary see? She saw the grave clothes were just lying there, wrapped and lying neatly. They hadn't been unwrapped. And there sat two angels in white robes, one at the head and at the feet of where the body of and without a word, they wished to assure, and by their presence, that should have assured Mary that these messengers of God, angels of the heavenly host, would not have permitted any human being to steal the body of Jesus. Like the cherubim who sat on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, so the angels now sat at Jesus' empty tomb. And they rejoiced that Jesus had risen, and they wanted to spread the good news. And in order to comfort her, one of the angels spoke to Mary and asked, Woman, why are you weeping? That's a short sentence. But by means of this question, they wanted Mary to put her sorrow into words. And so she answered, They have taken away my Lord. Now, God also puts questions to us by means of earthly angels. And then we should pause and think why we might be sad or in anguish. Keep our sorrow or pain to ourselves, because God would open our hearts and he has compassion on our sorrow. And as the psalmist said, he himself will take away the burden which he has laid upon us. And this is the first part in reaching the true joy of Easter. God wants to open our hearts to take away all bitterness, all anguish, all pain, all sorrow, all loneliness. As he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. And so to Mary, and also to us, Jesus speaks to us. You know, prepare Mary for what is to come. But before he could say anything else, Mary had left the tomb and continued to cry. And so we would ask, are there those who would be like Mary, who would run away from those who would help her? Now, they want people to listen and to understand. And they want to comfort. They are more than glad to help. But are some people sunk in such a funk of their own sorrows? Perhaps people think, no one understands me. No one knows the anguish that I have felt. No one can comfort me. No one has compassion for me. Why doesn't anyone help? But God doesn't give up on people so easily. Jesus saw the anguish in Mary's heart, and he is there when she and we also need him. You know, we may ask, why didn't Mary? You know, she was so wrapped in her sorrow, tears, she couldn't even see clearly. Perhaps her sight was as beclouded as the sight was of the two disciples whom Jesus met that evening on the road to Emmaus. But Jesus was by her side. And Jesus is also by our side, even when we cannot see us, so to speak, invisible. And understands even when no one else. And to us, Jesus repeated the question that the angels had first asked. Mary didn't respond to this question. Through her tears, she didn't see Jesus, but she thought that maybe this was the gardener, and maybe he had taken the body, or maybe he was shrubs and saw to people speak rashly in desperation or in despair, not only with ourselves or others, but also never want to hear what others have to say. But sometimes people think that they can handle everything by themselves. They're weak. That's Mary. She wanted to find the body and then be prepared to put it anointed with oils, even though she's probably too weak. Cry or complain about. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, as Paul writes in our epistle, then our faith is in vain. Life be without purpose. And we would still be in our sin. But as poor and as weak as Mary was, and as poor and as weak as she felt, weak in faith, consumed by anguish and doubt, she would suddenly be filled with the hope and the joy of Easter, because Jesus called her name and said, Mary. In an instant, her ears and her heart knew who was speaking to her. In an instant, she knew that it was her Lord, and the Good Shepherd had once again found his sheep. Jesus brought instant recognition on Mary's part, and she responded with joy and anticipation. And so we find Jesus in his word, and only in his word. She speaks. temptations or troubles beset us, that word, not look to our own feelings. Our wavering souls must lay hold of the divine promises, which will always be there to strengthen faith. At the last, we will take heart and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd who speaks to us. But Jesus wants more. Therefore, he says to her, don't keep clinging to me because I am not yet ascended to my Father. In the place of a weak physical faith, a stronger one would emerge. And after his ascension, he would not be present with those with whom he had dealt with the Lord. He wouldn't be present in the same manner that he had been with his disciples. And with his ascension to the Father, Jesus has full fellowship with us and we with him, not in a physical way, but through his Holy Spirit, through his Word. So then in faith, we can take hold of Jesus and hear his Word. And so we pray, Savior, let me soon behold thee face to face. May thy grace evermore enfold me. And as the angel and the Lord has spoken to us, so they would bid us to also speak with others. Said to Mary, go by bring to us the joy and hope. Easter is our mission as well, and it can't be any other way. Whoever has been entrusted with such great news of redemption and salvation must. But all too often, I think, we look at this mission as another burden, another responsibility, something we have to do. Perhaps this is because we get tongue-tied. Perhaps this is because we don't know what to say. Perhaps we might feel that we might say the wrong thing. We might offend people. Perhaps we feel inadequate and don't want to get into some kind of detailed theological discussion on obscure points about which we have no idea. And the list goes on and on. As the list goes on, our inadequacies pile up. We almost feel like giving up. But we should be Jesus' witnesses, and this is a magnificent privilege that God has given to us. And for this privilege, we can be thankful to God. And when we carry out this mission, we're performing the greatest act of love to a neighbor that we can. What should we say? Well, Jesus has risen and has ascended to his Father. And that's a fact. Jesus is our brother who has given his life for ours. And because of that, we can say that God is our loving Father. What should we say? Perhaps we can keep it as encouragement. I have seen the Lord. That's not really complicated. And when have we seen the Lord? God willing, in services such as this, where he meets us in word and sacrament. God willing, perhaps when we are able to share a scripture passage to us, perhaps we have seen the Lord each and every day of our lives. Great joy that has been given to us. You know, it wasn't given to the angels in heaven to share this message, but it's been given to us. It has been given to us to share Easter joy and hope, and we should never quench that Easter joy and hope that is within us. So then, God willing, will give us that strength to be as quick and as willing as Mary was on that first to fulfill the task given to her by the Lord. And that's the best thanks that we can give to our Lord, to bring him to others and show them what he has done for us and continues to do for us. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought the shepherd of the sheep, the blood of the eternal covenant, Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, through whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We now continue with our service as we join our hearts and voices in singing the offertory on page 22 and page 23 of the four-part of the hymnal. And at the conclusion of the offertory, we shall receive the offering. Blessed are you, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to your abundant mercy have given us a new birth unto a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You have transformed the night of doubt and sorrow into the new and eternal day of joy and gladness by the rolling of the stone from the door of the tomb. You have brought life and immortality to light by the glad tidings that Christ is truly risen, that death has no power over him. You have sent unto all who live in this world of darkness the joyful hope of an inheritance incorruptible and full of glory. O Lord, we thank and praise you that through Christ you have taken away from us the sting of death and have given us the victory over the grave. Fill our hearts with the joy of the resurrection. Grant unto your church and people everywhere the power of an endless life, that they may show forth your praises. Bestow your grace upon our homes and bless them with Easter's consolation and hope. Send forth the conquering banner of Christ's victory everywhere, that people the world over may join the host of heaven in songs of triumph. Guard us, O Lord, that by your power we may be kept in this holy faith. Wipe away all tears from our eyes. In every adversity and trial, preserve us so that we will always receive the blessings of Christ's ransom and the fruits of his resurrection. In the promise of Easter, take from us the fear of death. Always direct our hearts and minds to this promise, that in Christ our frail, lowly bodies will be renewed and glorified like unto his. And when you call us to our heavenly rest, may we sleep peacefully in Jesus, awaiting the sound of the trumpet, while those who die in the faith will rise to eternal glory. We would ask that you will be with those in our midst and those whom we know who are ill. Let your hand of healing rest upon them and continually grant strength and healing to them needful for body, soul, and spirit, and bless those in the medical arts who attend them, so that all treatment may be for their well-being. Thus we would remember Nancy, Roy, Cheryl, Cindy, Jean, Marlene, Don, Carla, Linda, Kurt, our neighbor Sue, Carolyn's friend Sue, Don Bruce, Richard Hopper, Rick Schoyer, James Sandine, and those whose names are on our hearts, which we lift up unto you now. Be with those pastors and teachers in our synod who have been called, and those congregations who are called. Send to all an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit, that those who have been called may see where their talents may best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and that those who are calling may not lose heart in their vacancy. Bless all those who are traveling this day to services. Set your holy angels over them and grant them a safe journey. Also be with the blanks as they travel to Washington this coming week, and grant them a safe journey as well. In all things, we continue to ask that you would send us that rain which is needful for the earth and snow to the sea areas. We ask all of this in the name of our risen and ever-living Lord. Amen. We now continue with our communion liturgy, which begins on page 24 of the fourth part of our hymnal. Our communion policy is printed on the back of our worship bulletin. We ask that those who commune are members of the congregation or members of visiting or sister congregations within the Church and the Lutheran Confession, that we all share one faith and one confession. For those who aren't, this isn't a question of faith, but rather it is a question of confession. I remember once in Calgary when I was leading a Bible study in German, one of the visitors who was Catholic asked, "Well, if I come to your church, can I take communion?" And I looked for a minute and I said, "Well, if I come to your church, would the priest commune me?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, you don't teach the same thing." And so basically, we ask that if you would like to find out more about what we do teach and find agreement, then speak with me after the service. But basically, this is not a question of faith, it is a question of public teaching and confession. Thus, we continue with our communion liturgy, which begins on page 24, in the middle of page 24, the fourth part of our hymn. The Lord be with you. Salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. But chiefly we are bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life has again restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we love and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, take me, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
O Christ, thou Lamb of God, and takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now may this eating and drinking of the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep, strengthen, and preserve you in the one true faith and for life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. crushed us through the salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Sending, and we sing stanzas 1 to 4.